This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy. It's a bonus episode. So the number one fuckboy is just sticking around for a second to let you know about the Action Boys, my Patreon podcast I co-host with some of my closest buds, Ryan Stanger and Ben Rogers. We got a free episode of our paid Patreon podcast coming to you on the High and Mighty feed. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, Under Siege. Get pumped, enjoy, and if you like it and you get hooked, head over to actionboys.biz with a Z and sign up for the Patreon. Or if it still doesn't have you hooked, we do have like 10 or so free episodes. So open up your podcast app and just search Action Boys. We have a feed called Unlocked and Loaded, which is all episodes we've been released for free so that you can listen to 8 episodes and say, I don't even pay for that shit, but I do like it, which would make you a very particular type of person. All right, enough about me, because we have a long-ass episode about Under Siege. Okay. Take it away, Action Boys.
December 4th.
Here we are.
Made it through Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Didn't overeat.
Did not overeat at all. I had only greens and some smashed sweets. That's it.
And smashed sweets?
Smashed sweets.
I smashed my little swish.
That's what I say when the police come in.
Smashes the swish.
When the police come in and Tiffany's dead in front of me, I go, I smashed the swish. Try to use the Lenny defense.
I feel like Lenny with my fucking dog. Like that, my dog has made me into a full fucking like drooling simpleton that like is just like, ah, yes, my pretty doggy.
My dog has turned me into Lenny. Anytime I see a rabbit, I choke it to death.
Yeah, any girl I bring over to the house, I accidentally pet her too hard.
What was the story?
Super heavy petting.
What was the story with the guy that had his hand curly, who kept his hand in
Vaseline
in a glove filled with Vaseline?
He kept his hand soft for his lady.
That specific lady stood with me more than too. A giant guy killing animals and killing a woman. It stuck with me more that dude wore a glove.
And so what? So to like caress her face or to like finger her with? Or something?
I think you're assumed to either finger or to hit her with a freshly moisturized palm. That's weird. I don't agree with the guy, but it makes a better sound.
Terrible. Well, and you're wrong. It's for fingering.
It's gotta be.
Finger blasting.
Yeah, nice soft finger blast.
But he probably keeps her. He probably keeps her vagina in a Vaseline filled glove too, because it's a two way street. Actually, it's a one way. Well, two ways. I don't know how vaginas work.
Two ways.
It is two ways, right?
Yeah.
PPN, baby out. So how's your guys' Advent going so far? It's 3 weeks to the day till Christmas. What are you guys asking for?
Oh, wow.
What do you want,
now,
Roger?
Is the time to put the list out.
Yeah, this is when post-Thanksgiving is the time you get your list going.
You've got an Amazon wish list, right?
Yeah, I got an Amazon wish list.
And Danny Jepsen bought you everything off of it this
year. Yeah, Danny Jepsen usually fulfills my Amazon wish list.
He just wants to see a picture of you wearing the stuff, right? Yeah.
If I send you guys an outfit, would you wear it in a picture?
Yeah, I've been doing dress up shit for a lot of the listeners.
I'm an Action Boys cam boy. For $50 a month, we go on a Google Hangout and do whatever you say over cam.
Hey man, we're laughing, but
yeah, I'm laughing, but
I'm paying my rent. I'm doing cam boy stuff. I'm an Action Boy cam boy. That's what my tax returns say.
Our Patreon is through the roof thanks to Roger's willingness to go cam boy for us.
He did like a bottomless thing in like a Planet Hollywood Letterman jacket. It was a real bonanza.
He has to brush his teeth for a half hour on camera with no bottoms on.
No request is too weird. I'll do anything.
Welcome to Action Boys. They're starburst rounds.
They're just starburst rounds.
They're just starburst.
This, I'm so excited to be talking.
Well, I didn't realize it until you said December 4th. It's close to the anniversary of Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. True that.
And so this movie actually takes place
on the 50th anniversary.
Right. Yeah. It's like on December 7th or something.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately for Steven Seagal, this isn't the day in his life that will live in infamy. He has about 60 to 70 on.
But, I mean, watching it, so...
Uh-oh.
A lot of Seagal allocation. Holy shit. We got a lot of
animal action going on in Valverde. So right just, now. To bring the listeners up to speed, we have... two dogs in Valverde, Jane and Artie, and they're both jockeying for position.
They're both big Rogers fans. All right. Hold
Jane
on.
Jane just fucking blew it.
Jane just blew it. She just saw something fall, so she's like excited for anything that's around. Crazy that this takes place. Look, we're really doing it. How long ago did this movie come out? I guess 92. It wasn't shot on December 7th.
Yeah. they use a lot of found footage from when the actual anniversary happened.
I like that, though. I like that they posit a reality with George.
Hey, George.
Bush as a president.
Hey. Arthur, get over here. Artie, get down.
Holy shit.
Jane's a little too protective.
Shit's fucking crazy.
This is wild. We're doing a professional show here. You guys, we're...
That's Stanger. Stanger's lipstick is out.
I think I'm lucky I have a dick like this.
I know you are, really.
Yeah, yeah,
you call it your downstairs tongue, right? Can we the cast in this fucking movie, this is like peak Seagal for me. This is like one of his.
It is. I think it is unquestionably his peak.
Right.
Oh yes, big time.
Yeah.
And it's funny as hell.
Yeah,
and it's Tommy really Lee Jones is just like whatever. I'm gonna fucking have. He goes in this movie with the exact right attitude that you should have for
and
a movie
it,
like.
Yeah,
this.
And
comes off
think,
great.
I think Busey's bringing that attitude into the movie.
I think this is just before Busey's gone insane, but like
he's doing good work.
But he's not publicly insane.
Yes,
yet.
He's not like, publicly he's
like,
insane.
Yeah,
he's doing good work, and like he's like there's little touches that he puts in where like he's surprised by things, and it's like great. Like it's actually there's no way it was scripted or he was directed to do some of those things.
Yes,
you know, like where the guy like he's relieved when the guy comes in and shoots the other guy, and he's like, nice shot. Like, all that stuff. Like, it's just, like, great, like, little real moments, you know?
Whether it's the writing or it's Busey, there's a couple of things that he cares about in the movie that really appeal to me. Like
those scenes where he's laughing at Tommy Lee Jones are so bonkers.
Yeah. I mean, Tommy Lee Jones looks fucking crazy. He's
totally miscast.
He's like
whatever.
90 playing 40.
And he's like a fucking blues band musician.
Not even really, though. He's just kind of the MC and does like the weird like spoken word thing.
And
there.
He's got a harmonica.
Yeah.
He's just kind of like an MC.
It's great cover to pretend to be in a rock band. And then when you realize at the last minute, you're like, oh, I don't know how to do anything musically.
He had worked a ton and had like a long career, but wasn't a. Like right after this, he became a household name with The Fugitive.
Right.
But I don't think he was on.
This is a weird low point for him. I mean, it's still a huge movie.
Big budget movie, yes.
This is below his skill level.
Right.
It's
for
weird
sure.
to see him in it. I didn't know.
It's no Men in Black.
This is like I don't think he bounced back because he did Batman Forever.
Oh, too, right, he was Two-Face,
which yeah. is a similar energy that he brings to this role.
Yeah, but I mean that was like a giant like after he worked with Davis immediately after this doing The Fugitive and won an Academy Award.
Crazy that that's the same director.
Yeah,
that's
but his they two also movies. Worked together on like a movie with Gene Hackman. I can't remember what it was called right before this. So that's why Tommy Lee Jones got brought in, but he wasn't doing big studio movies before this.
Right.
Yeah.
He was around like he was a ham and egger, like working and doing
He's
good.
Great. He's one of my favorite actors.
Was he born 65?
He was Bob Dole's roommate.
Did you guys ever see Rolling Thunder?
Not in a long time. Is that Rolling the truck Thunder, movie?
Is it the what?
Is it a trucker
Brooks?
Movie?
Or
Garth
no,
Brooks.
No.
It's Garth Brooks or
it's
Garth
about,
Brooks?
It's
Garth Brooks?
No, it's not Garth Brooks.
Oh, is it Chris Gaines?
No, I can tell you guys what the movie is.
Is it Garth Brooks or Chris Gaines?
No, it's
neither.
It's a movie. It's a Paul Schrader movie about a dude who comes back from Vietnam. His family gets attacked in a home invasion. They stick his hand down a fucking garbage disposal.
Oh,
take his hand. Then he like goes on a revenge mission to kill these guys. And his buddy from Nam is a young Tommy Lee Jones in one of his first roles. And he's fucking incredible in the movie.
That's all. Sounds like we got to do this.
It would be a great Action Boys movie.
I'm compelled to see it.
It's like a Death Wish.
It's a classic revenge movie. And it's awesome. And Paul Schrader is a real weirdo.
I got to check that shit out.
American
that
Gigolo.
Awesome. Yeah, we got to do American Gigolo.
It's one of my favorites.
The documentary about Ryan Stanger.
Yeah, dude.
Cruising is the doc about me.
Should we put the keys in this?
Let's see if we have the launch codes.
Yeah, let's put the launch codes in. It's an 8-track player. Our cell phone, our SEAL phone.
It's the SEAL phone. Here we go. It's like a call phone, but with a radar.
Yeah, sure.
All right, and
all right,
we're dialing
crank
up.
It. You're calling me.
Hello, Rogers?
Yeah, you just called me.
Sorry, I'm trying to activate the Stanger phone.
Yeah, me too.
Okay,
I guess we got to do it at the same time.
Okay, hold on. Ready? Hang up on three.
Okay, one, two, and hang up.
Did you hang up?
I did.
I still hear you.
Well, I'm right next to you.
Right.
You're still on?
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, hi.
Hi, okay.
Okay, yeah, let's activate.
Okay,
ready? One, two,
three.
By your command, Stangerbot, 2009, arbitrary year.
Yeah, baby.
2009.
I don't know. Just sounded right.
Remember Punisher 2009? Or is it those 2099? Spider-Man?
2099.
Yeah.
Barenthal coming out hard against Spacey after everybody hated him. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah,
he jumped on like late, or it's like, yeah, he was just fuck that guy.
Yeah, he was like, they did Baby Driver, and he's like, that guy treated people horrible on set, but it was like, it wasn't like
that guy was a dick to a PA, so of course I'm in agreement that he's a sexual assaulter.
Well, fine if you say that, but it's just funny that he waited until after all the assault stuff came out, and he's like, this guy's a whore, he's a scumbag, he treated people poorly, and I don't go for that. And it's just like, yeah,
you didn't say that any earlier. Yeah,
where were you a month ago? You know. But big fan of Barenthal. So this starts with the ocean, right? We start with the Missouri.
Yeah, the high seas.
What's that? The high seas?
Yeah, we're on the high seas.
Dame.
And then we get the footage of like Bush, which I was saying earlier that I liked. Like, right. I like that.
And it looks good. It doesn't look like most found footage where the stock is different. And it like it's very obvious.
It looks like it's part of the footage. Damn movie.
Yeah, it looks like they had a crew there shooting this.
Yeah. And, it's nice because sometimes it bumps you out of it a little bit if it's like a weird actor playing the president.
Right.
Know?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Unless it's like the president's really important in the movie.
Unless we're going to see him a few times. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Or it's like,
just create a fake president.
Create a fake president.
Yeah. Don't ever.
Which I'm always a huge fan.
I love
fake presidents.
Like you said, like, what is the fake president's going to be like in movies in 20 years? Like now, when we're not going off of Bush and Reagan and Carter. When
Trump has really thrown a fucking huge monkey wrench into.
Yeah. Like president. Tom Sizemore is going to play the president in a movie at some point.
Larry Flint.
Busey has the line where he's going to buy the presidency in this.
Right. And it's like,
it kind of makes sense. It's like a joke, but now you're like, yeah, it could happen.
Obama ruined future presidents because that used to be the move for
a black president.
A black president was always like, this takes place in the future.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, just like, well,
the world has been, turns out.
Now we got to have a
different future.
Trans presidents.
Right.
Yeah. That's good.
Like, that's a good big swing.
That's a big swing.
Speaking of trans, we got great work from Gary Busey in this movie.
Very, I think he involved the community. And
yeah,
like,
he clearly spoke with GLAAD before he decided to go as.
So then we get right into, like, the kitchen, and you get to see Casey Ryback in action. And it's so weird because we all know what a scumbag Seagal is, but they do a lot of work in this movie to make him seem and
very
feel like
likeable.
A good guy and like likable, and I feel like it works.
And he's
it
works like black karate gear.
Yeah. Yeah,
and everybody's in their navy whites, and they're all like, "Where are you whites? The president's coming!"
Yeah,
and he like fixes a guy's kerchief. Who's, yeah, he's like, "Come on, man, you're in the navy. You gotta look good."
It's classic. He's classic ball busting, completely like improvised ball busting that he's doing throughout this movie is like my favorite shit. He's like, "Hey, come on, you know, you gotta look, make yourself look nice, huh?" You know,
I can't just watch Seagal movies anymore without thinking of your dad, thinking how perfect he is.
I know.
Like, all his behavior is totally on point.
And then the more shit you learn about Seagal, you're like, Dad, why pick your heroes?
I don't know, even in the movie, just thinking that's his like idealized man, you know?
Yeah. That's funny.
Severe noodle arms.
Oh yeah.
And, like, we don't even see noodle arms
so
yet.
So at this stage, he's had multiple successful films. So he has control in this movie, not too much control. I think that's why this movie works.
Mm.
There's just the right amount of the Seagal madness and ego that make it work. But then also they rein him in a little bit. But he's clearly in charge of his wardrobe, and he likes to get himself in a tank top as much as possible.
It makes no sense.
He looks so bad.
He looks fucking horrible.
I won't say he looks horrible. I won't say he looks bad, but he just looks like a fucking guy who owns a tank top, right? Like, he does not look like a movie star or a Navy SEAL. He doesn't even look like a Navy chef. He's like tan. Like, he doesn't even, like, a Navy chef would be more physically imposing than Steven Seagal is in this.
Whatever's in his mind, it just doesn't line up. And this is, we're coming off of Rocky 3. So it's just like,
we're seeing dudes caught that are fucking like superheroes. And now it's just a fucking dude who looks like
atrophy.
Thank
God for Steven Seagal. Thank God for Steven Seagal's body in this movie, because then that makes Gary Busey and Tommy Lee Jones believable as badasses.
Yeah. He never recovered. Like, I heard he did a lot of method stuff when he was in the coma, and like he's always looked atrophied ever since, you know? Like,
yeah, for Hard to Kill, they had him induced. Actually asked to be induced into a coma for 6 months and just never really bounced
so
back.
Seagal's busting balls, and like, they're like, "Where are your dress was?" He's like, "I got the dress. I just don't have the pumps," or something like that.
And he's just
throwing out shitty jokes.
Before that, though, isn't he firing off Cajun specifics? Isn't he? We got to make that Boudreaux, dude.
We don't know he's Cajun yet.
Yeah.
We almost never know he's Cajun.
No, we only know one time for like a little monologue he wants to do.
So we cut to the
captain's office. I heard that he had Eddie Gordetsky do an uncredited polish up on a lot of the jokes, you know? He took a break from Everybody Loves Raymond and came over there and like gave him some pithy one-liners.
I mean, there's some real fucking... At the end of this movie, I don't even understand like what some of the jokes are.
The tone of this movie gets completely out of hand at a certain point.
Yeah. So the captain's office, Busey's in there, and we immediately know he's the bad guy because he doesn't. Anyone who doesn't like Seagal is bad.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right, because Seagal is the greatest to the point where, like, he's like, he wants to be considered, like, if he could have a line where one of the minority characters turns to him and goes, "You're black like me, Steven Seagal," like, that's like his dream. Cause, like, it's always like he's always like talking to Native Americans or Hispanic guys, like, "Hey, what's up, hombre?" You know, he's always like trying to like indenture himself or like get himself involved.
Yeah, you're right. I totally. Well,
that moment when they're all dancing. Oh,
yeah. You move, and he like kind of does some arm stuff, but they cut away. I was like, if they go back and he's in full dance. Wait, yo,
hold on. We're not there yet, but when they show the footwork of the guy going crazy, whatever his name's, Q-Ball. He's like going crazy and they show his footwork. There are two sets of feet. I'm like, if we pull out and fucking Casey Ryback is doing like the fucking Bugs Bunny, I'm going to the Roger Rabbit, I'm going to lose my shit.
Somebody shared us that video of him kind of dancing around too. What was that thing?
I don't remember.
In Russia or something.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like dancing around.
Yeah, that's fucking.
He's doing weird physical demonstrations in Russia regularly.
But yeah, you're right. Just the very, like, the foreshadowing that Busey is going to be bad. It's just him not liking Ryback. That's all we need.
Because he tries to have his cake and eat it too, where, you know, in a lot of these movies, the higher ups don't respect the hero because he doesn't play by the rules. But he has higher ups that don't respect him, but also the really higher ups are like
truly respect
him. Yeah, they
like he's kind of like he's doing there. It's too much writing. Like
if I had your ribbons, I'd wear them to bed. That's what the captain tells him when he like won't wear his dress whites to meet the president.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where it's like. His big note on writing this was like, "Hey, what if I'm not a good guy? What if I'm the best guy?"
Like, oh, okay. I guess we
they literally call him a good guy in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. Like, it's like, it's not ambiguous at all as to whose side Casey Ryback.
He's one of the best, and he would never, like, if somebody on from ER said he did something, he didn't do it. You got
so,
me? Wait,
what? So the captain.
Why am I going to read this?
The captain is clearly on Seagal's side.
Right.
And they have some connection that we don't know yet.
We later learn he only could.
Why do you tolerate that clown?
Because he doesn't want to be there for the president's thing.
Yeah. Why do you tolerate that clown?
Ooh.
We bust out our real presidential Pearl Harbor anniversary footage where we like,
which looks great.
It looks great. We get a little history lesson on the Missouri and, you know, its background and how it was built after the attack on Pearl Harbor. And it was used in Desert Storm.
It's very pro-America, very patriotic. Yeah. We're flying high after the Gulf War and all this stuff.
And now,
then we undercut it by what the government has done to CIA operatives.
Yeah, well, a part of the government, not the military.
Not the military. The sketchballs.
Yeah,
the weasels.
They're smoking in the.
There's always got to be bad apples in every fucking crew. Like that's a big part of Seagal movies. Is like whenever there's a room of four guys, one of them has to be a shitty guy for everybody to yell at.
Well, that just like that, and also that globally justifies like, the military makes some bad mistakes, but it's always the weasel dick that you think it is. Yeah. It's not the other eight guys. Like they're all heroes.
It's not the guy in the admiral uniform.
Right. It's not the guy in the admiral uniform or the guy in a black do-rag tank top.
So this is when we cut to Seagal in his element, just holding court in the kitchen. And music's everybody bumping. Loves him. We got our buddy from The Rock, Ramirez.
And Clear and Present Danger. He's
Tuco. Cruz. Tuco from Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And he's pulling out some weird Bayou jokes down here. And this is where it's like, oh, I guess he's Cajun.
Casey Ryback. All we know about him is his name is Ryback. Like, they don't call him like Voodoo Daddy or something.
Great name. Yeah. Casey Ryback.
Great
name.
They're
watching the presidential stuff on TV, and he's got a great line where he's like, "Wonder how much money was spent on this photo op." Like, we're.
But that's happening on the deck of their ship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the president's here. It's like, we're busting balls. Like, that's a huge, exciting thing. And you're just sitting around.
Hey, not if you can hang out with Casey Ryback.
Yeah, hey, Ryback. Hey, Casey, huh?
And he's prepping, you know, his bouillon sauce.
Yeah, because it's the admiral's birthday.
Yeah, it's the admiral's birthday, and he likes Seagal's cooking. And you see him chopping some veggies at this point. You know he's, like, good with a knife.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the, like,
Busey is getting clearance for like helicopter landings for a surprise birthday for the captain.
Now, that is such an insane story umbrella. Like the idea that it's a surprise party. It's like, I'm pretty sure the Navy's like, yo, no surprises, period. Like,
shows, yes. Well, I mean,
like, there's no way they'd be like, oh, all right.
I was a distinguished visitor last year with a bunch of, I was trying to develop a military show. So, like, I somehow angled my way onto a trip to an aircraft carrier. And it was like me and five other writers. And I was the least distinguished of the distinguished visitors. And they didn't let us out of their sight for a second. I mean, it was very carefully curated of like where we could go, where they could show us. Like they didn't want anybody getting fucking hurt. I mean, they're dangerous, huge ass ships.
Right.
And the idea that they're just going to let like a bunch of people sneak in and all these caterers just wandering all over the ship.
They do say that it's like the XO. So it's Busey behind it. And
right.
They,
so
and
they you're have supposed
like,
to yeah. trust
they have escorts. Like they're all, you know.
Yeah.
They're around. So, we're taking a big leap.
It's a movie. Yeah, obviously it's a movie. It's just a funny thing to be like, the way they get on is like approved surprise party.
And it's like, and it's also,
and that's why Casey can't cook. Yeah.
Miss July is so hot that they're like, all right, we'll let her on. And Busey hands the dude a fucking old Playboy and it's like, keep it.
Busey, in case you're wondering if he's a bad guy, is seen hating the main star, telling everyone else to shut down patrols, despite the guy going, I don't know, that sounds dangerous. And it's like, no, just shut it down. Then see him getting reprimanded by the captain saying, don't shut down patrols. Like, do you wonder if he's a bad guy?
And Busey's like, everybody needs to be in the mess. And he's getting some blowback about that. And he's kind of pushing his power around, making sure everybody's in this one room.
There's no like security out there.
And this is when we cut back and we're kind of intercutting between Busey getting things lined up for this invasion and then Seagal in the kitchen with all his boys. And right. This is where we have cue ball break dancing and everybody doing go cue ball, go cue ball, go, go cue ball, go cue ball.
And they're playing snap. I got the power.
Yeah. Which will come up big time when we finally cover the perfect weapon on this.
Yeah, and I feel like that was a while after that song's popularity.
Oh, for sure.
But another big paycheck for Snap. Why the name cue ball?
Yeah, he's not bald.
Yeah.
Does he call someone else cue ball first? The heavyset balding Navy guy who's in like everything. You know, I'm talking about with the jowls and blue eyes.
Oh no, not that dude. I think maybe he's good at pool. Maybe cue ball's like a pool hustler.
I mean, wouldn't you call a black bald guy 8 ball?
But he's not bald.
He's not even bald. Cue ball
doesn't work.
It makes no sense.
Even if his name was Q, they would just like something like Quentin. They would just be like Q or Q-tip or something. But like cue ball denotes bald. It's just some like white person trying to come up with like a cool urban name.
Yeah.
He's cue ball. That's fun.
It truly makes no sense.
Yeah. It's classically the number one nickname for a bald person is cue ball.
100%.
So,
at that point, when I couldn't make heads or tail of that, I shut the movie off, full disclosure. But okay. I can hang in there and
what happens to the redhead dude that's with Busey in this? Like that, who's kind of like.
Oh, good question.
Does he disappear? Like, because you think he's in on it, but then he's just kind of gone.
Yeah.
Does he end up in the forecastle? It's spelled forecastle. The thing that they put them in the front of the ship where the water comes in. But the way they pronounce it, I could not catch it. I like even rewound. It's like forkles. I'm sure some Navy person is going to tell us how we're incorrect. But it's like, I finally saw it written out and it says forecastle. And I was like, that's what they've been saying this whole time?
Yeah.
So these are the Easter eggs I'm interested in.
The great line where it's like they want all the guys. They're like shutting down the kitchen. We're actually flying in the food, so you guys don't need to cook. You guys go up to the mess. Seagal's like, I'm the only one that can cook for the captain. It's like, hey, we still got a week together. Guess I'm going to miss you going through puberty. All the dudes lose their shit.
And they're trying not to because it's their XO. So they're all like...
Yeah, we're making fun of Seagal. It all works somehow.
This is best comedic delivery.
I don't know how they achieve this, but all the scenes of him hanging out with all his boys always come across as very real.
They do.
It's got to be the director. He's like a qualified good director,
and he's worked with Seagal before. They did like Above the Law or something together, like one of his first movies.
They all seem kind. Yeah.
But like this, in this guy's hands, it fucking works.
Yes.
I don't know how. It's like he finds these magic moments where you're like, yeah, they're friends. They like him. They think he's funny.
Captain doesn't like surprises. Neither do I. And then he fucking chucks the knife at the throwing knife at the target, and you're like, oh shit, this guy's fucking badass.
But also, you know, he's a badass because on minute zero of the movie, it's Steven Seagal. You know, like, I love that about these movies. It's like, oh, he's a chef. I wonder if there's another layer. Like, I would love it if you watched a full movie and Seagal is just like the chef and the dude next to him, like, rescues everybody. Yeah. He's like, what are you thinking? I'm just a fucking chef for real, though.
I think he'd be game for that.
For that,
where he's a movie where he's not the hero. Yeah, he's a big pussy. Yeah, he definitely fucking do that. They say I'm just a chef so many times, or like
he's just a
cook.
Chef.
I'm just a cook. So Busey convinces the captain of like, hey, even the admiral wants to have this party, and just can you stay in your quarters? And he's like, all right, I'll be reading a
novel. I'll get lost in a novel.
Engrossed in a novel. Yeah. Just like, all right, smart
captain.
Guy.
Yeah, he kind of looks like John Updike or something. Yeah. Like, he's very
I'm stuck. Like
cast.
At that moment when he says I'll be stuck in a novel or whatever, I'm wondering, are we supposed to hate this guy?
And it's like, you know, it's immediately that he's going to die.
Well, right. No, they pan down when he's reading that, and there's a Club International inside the book that he's reading. There's a
swank
Club, Club International.
Jesus, what a pull.
A long time.
Club International, what a pull.
He's
reading it.
That has to be your LLC name. When you go, you should go Club International.
There are we Magazine, which I always thought was like, oh, you
UI.
Yes.
OUI. I had 5 Wii's that I found in the woods that I buried next to my I had a headboard in my bedroom growing up, and I would just put the porno mags there and rags and stuff that I would come into. And that would also,
how does everyone have a story where they find stuff porno in the woods?
Yeah, because like, that's
where it's just abandoned porno in the woods.
Yes,
I think they must leave it there for kids to find, right? They
that's
must
what
get
the whole
off
like
that.
Stranger Things
I think
is
like
about.
18-year-old kids like
Stranger Things season 3 is they just
the upside down is just a log with 12 magazines underneath it.
That's how they become misogynistic pigs. It's this porn fun in the woods.
I would like pick my nose, wipe it on the side of this headboard. I had magazines and jizz rags just jammed in there. And then one day I come home from school and my room has been completely rearranged. And my dad's like, I fixed your room up for you. And I was like,
just you.
And I'm just like, and I literally am like, and I'm like looking around pretending like, oh yeah, I guess you did move the bed to the end, the headboard. Like, and he's like, and I'm not going to tell you, mother, but clean the fucking shit up. It's disgusting.
Jesus.
I'm just picturing my dad moving the headboard and literally just boogers come in magazines.
Like, getting crushed by it. I had like a magazine that like I had found out in the woods, and like I would use it, you know, to like J.O. and all that shit. And then like at a certain point,
unnecessary predicate in that sentence.
And like at a certain point, I was like, I'm done with this. And so like I rode my bike and threw it out there. And then like a couple days later, I was like, back to the same spot, like looking for it. I was like, never again. And, like, threw it away. And then like literally like 48 hours later, I'm like back there. I was like, I was too soon. Let me just find this.
Post jerk off is not the time to think about future jerk off sessions. Yeah. I've been known to take a full 27-inch retina display iMac and throw it in the dumpster right at, like fold my laptop and just whip it into the ocean. I'm like, never again. Like, slam it shut and just
God,
I'm sorry.
I went to a cafe to work, and I got a cup of coffee, sat down, took out my iPad, and went to check a website. I opened it up, and it was just like in the middle of some hardcore porno video. Sound on. Just like everything. There was a dude sitting behind me that like knew me and said hi to me. And I was like, hey, how you doing? And I fucking like just quickly tried to shut it down, but the sound was still on. And then I just fucking left.
Now you got to. You moved.
Yeah.
You came out to LA after that. that.
Yeah.
One of the best.
New York.
There's that video online of a dude sitting in class with noise canceling headphones on and doesn't realize that his thing's not plugged in and he's just blasting porn. Oh, God. And he thinks it's only in his head and there's like people filming it. And it's like, he's just sitting at his laptop in like a huge study hall.
That is the funniest. In a huge lecture hall. Those sounds, it's so ridiculous. It really shines a light on how ridiculous we are. That stuff is all that. Just like grunting, you know.
Oh, God.
Out of context.
Oh, so we cut to the chopper and Tommy Lee Jones. This is where we first see Tommy Lee Jones. He's sitting next to the Miss July.
He's just doing whatever he wants.
Yeah. He's dressed like a member of the band from the Muppet Babies. His wardrobe is like direct from Dr. Teeth or whatever they call it.
What the fuck was their name?
I think it's like Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem or something.
Something.
I just know the girl reminds me of like Kim Kardashian or the girls that get too much surgery on their face.
Yeah, the big lips. Yeah. Janice, I think.
So all the like catering guys are all menacing and it's very clear that they're all bad guys. They're all like scowling, trying to get ready.
None of them are good cooks.
And so like Seagal's still working
Miss
on
July, by the way, is a smoke show.
Yes. Super hot. And this is like, this movie is peak Seagal harassment era, where it's like a lot of women who had meetings or auditioned for this are all coming out now.
I feel like we can't talk about this movie much further without expressing some disdain for our former heroes.
Well, here's where, like,
I never thought of him as a good guy.
No, me neither. But it's hard to think of it.
No, until, and then he got weird. So you're like, oh, weird and political, fine. But I didn't think of him as being creepy with girls.
I did.
It makes sense now.
I remember, it's so obvious. Like, of course.
I think it was Jenny McCarthy. And like, this is when I was driving to school. My brother and I were driving to school listening to her getting interviewed on Stern. And she was talking about auditioning for this and that he was like a sleazeball then. That was fucking that was in the 90s.
I don't remember that. You know, what I'll say too is what's weird about it is he doesn't, obviously they wouldn't show that in the movie, but like how he interfaces with her, like never.
It makes no sense. Their relationship does not track where that ends in this movie. We'll get to that.
But it's got like real like kind of brother sister energy the whole way through until the end.
Yeah.
But like, it's so weird that he's just like leering at her, you know, off camera, whatever. Has Erica Eleniak, is that how you say her name? Has she come out and said anything?
No, not I don't yet. Think so.
No, but I'm sure the process of getting this job was truly horrific.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like everyone, like he's a monster.
Yeah, he did the whole, like, he did Weinstein shit. Where
like,
he,
like, meet me in the hotel.
Back stuff. Yeah. And yeah, where like, it's like.
No, it's like a special audition. Like, we gotta do all the like the worst like the descriptions of his apartment where he's like coming down in Asian robes.
Of course.
A friend of mine, this girl I know, went to like one of his parties one time, and he didn't come on to her. She didn't say, but it was like a big party. But she said he was like really like femme and talked with his hands a lot. Was kind of like the weird thing.
Does not surprise me.
Yeah, it's the weird thing she noticed. And he was in a kimono.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
How old is he now? 65? Older?
At least, because I mean, he was like in his late 30s when he made it. 19
when he was making these action.
No, he's like, we figured it out for the first one that we did. He was like 36 when like he first made it.
Yeah, and he's looking bad these days.
Yeah, I mean, he looks bad. He looks doughy and
he's wearing a crazy vampire wig.
He's always like laughed about the widow's peak. What is that?
He like sharpies in a widow's peak to the front of his. He's got like he's what's like the kid's name from
Eddie Monster.
Eddie
two,
Monster.
Yeah. Three.
One,
One, two, three accusations.
Busey's smelling his cooking. He's like, smells like a lard omelet.
This is disgusting.
That's gotta be improvised, right?
Yeah.
Because a lard omelet is like something you can order in Brooklyn now.
Yeah, totally. And so
he hocks a fucking loogie.
He hocks a loogie in it. That sets Seagal off. He pushes Busey, and they're like, that's striking an officer. He's like, that's not striking an officer. This is striking an officer. Punches him. Then takes out everybody.
Then five guards go after him.
Until he decides that he doesn't want it. He's like, okay, okay.
Yeah, it's so in his hands. Right. Know? It's like, so, yeah, yeah. He only stops when he personally relents. They're not able
why
to
you're a cook. You hit like a faggot.
It's crazy. Like,
holy shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, Busey, you saw he took on like four MPs.
Yeah,
right,
he just kicked your ass. I mean, it's this kind of
and his eye is completely, his cheek is completely split open.
And it's like the worst prosthetic I've seen in a movie in a while. And it's like, and that line's got to be Busey too, just like riffing, right?
Yeah. You probably said it like five times to the wardrobe department. They were like, all right, you can just say that on fucking, on camera, you scumbag.
Yeah, and also, but I mean, it's also the delusion that allows him to pull off what he's about to pull off.
Right, right, right.
Then he puts like a new, like, mentally challenged card on Seagal. Yeah.
He's like, oh, we got to put one of my best guys on it. Yeah. You.
He's like, brand new guy.
Southern.
He's like, very dim-witted.
He's like the sniper from Wonder Woman. He like, reminds me of, like, that guy, that actor. He's like,
yeah, the best arc ever in a movie. Yeah. The sniper from Wonder Woman. No.
I'm afraid. Okay, well, you'll help us in the third act, right? No, not exactly.
Nope, not at all. Pose for the picture.
So we cut to the playmate landing and like the whole ship going fucking crazy.
You know what's weird too? Aside from the Seagal stuff, I feel like the way that they handled the playmate, because it's a lot, like she's going to dance for these guys, she's going to be nude in it. It never really feels that creepy somehow, does it?
It is. Because you never get to see it, but if you start to picture in your head one woman getting out of a cake in a like iron room filled with 200 sailors, yeah, like, that's when it gets scary, because you never actually, I think if we saw,
yeah, I think,
it would be like
the way that they shoot it and the way that they kind of build her character and stuff, like you never really feel,
this part doesn't feel like, it does feel pretty legit. Of
yeah,
like,
it feels like entertainer. Just, yeah. We're going to entertain. These are the other entertainers.
Until later it's on, revealed when she comes out and, you were going to be naked.
The cake part is fucking insane.
Yeah,
it is.
How long have you been in there?
It's how it's done in this movie makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, we got to unpack exactly the math.
So Tommy Lee Jones comes like following up, like also kind of razzing people, playing his harmonica.
Look at this guy here. Oh,
music is my life.
Yeah. He's doing like when you're not sure how to like be cool in a situation, it's like you're undercover, he's like, cool, I'll just talk to every say something anytime someone looks at me.
In this movie he reminds me of Howie Mandel's Maurice in Little Monsters. Yeah. Yeah.
need him got him.
There's a lot going on, like it's just like trying to do like a Robin Williams
thing. He's like the genie.
So
music is my life.
He gives the playmate some pills for motion sickness because she's not feeling great. Meanwhile, and we're kind of intercutting this with Seagal being pretty funny. It locked up in the freezer talking to the private. And
he's funny.
You gotta let my pies out.
Yeah. Funny, smart, you know. Call the captain. You won't get in trouble.
Yeah.
Come on.
I will say that sequence of him saying that is the first time in a movie a character said what I wanted them to say. You know what I mean? Because it's always like, fuck you, man. Let me out. It's like, why don't you actually just try the truth? Like in those movies where it's like, it's always like a miscommunication. So when he finally says like, look, you're not going to get any trouble. Call the captain and ask if I'm supposed to be locked up.
Yeah.
That's like
going to yell at you.
They're not going to yell. You're not going to get in trouble. Call the captain.
It's
Come just on.
So, it's like, this is honest writing. It's like,
you know, something's up, private.
Yeah. Why would they keep me locked up?
Well, no, I mean, that's,
and this, they kind of add a little like joke about the cooking to every one of these lines.
Yeah.
Like, they just kind of spice it up a little bit.
We got to do a quick chef pass on this. Yeah. We got Batali's in the room. He's going to take a quick chef pass.
The playmate takes a ton of pills.
she has to justify like, what really, happens.
I'm really seasick. She just pops a fucking handful of these.
Yeah. But speaking to what you're saying about like Rybick's like being very logical and handling, I mean, that's where this movie soars, is that it's airtight. Like all the logic in it
for the most part, and right. makes sense.
Yeah. People like action movie logic, it stands by.
Yeah, yeah. Action movie logic, and people speak clear and direct. You know, there's not a lot of like breakdown in communication. It's all
right.
It's well, I mean, it's, you know, it's
yeah, it gets you from A to B to C to D, like, yeah, without good, any like
so
polish
we get
on
Bad
it.
Billy and the Bail Jumpers blues band playing their set. And
the Bail Jumper.
And there's like, and so, Tommy Lee Jones is the MC, but not the lead singer, who's kind of like in the background.
The age of this band is insane. They're like between 25 and 70.
Yeah. And they're also all terrorists. Right. Why are they even playing?
No, and like the terrorists.
Why do we have to get this far yes. into the sham? We don't need to play at all.
Yeah, I mean, imagine like warming up. Imagine like, scouting yeah. to find like a mercenary terrorist that has a beautiful blues voice. Yeah. Guy's got a great voice. You know?
They're a real band.
Yeah.
And that's like someone terrorists. Who's like infiltrated UCB as part of a terrorist cell. They had to like find the guy in ISIS who got game.
Yeah. Like, I think I know him. I'm just gonna write a name down and see if you guys
that's who I wrote down.
Yeah,
okay, all right. So Seagal's like in the freezer getting out of the cuffs, kind of like keeping
they shoot that
warm.
Correctly yeah. where they just kind of leave it out of camera, like he's on the ground and then he stands back up with his cuffs in front of him. It's like, do not let us see Seagal trying to
get
approximate
his,
that
yeah, trying to get his arms in front of him.
Well, he might be able to do it though, because his arms are 9 feet long and weigh 8 pounds each.
And there's no bones in him or anything.
Yeah. He's got like the triceps of like a soul food chef. Like they're so wobbly.
I mean, why not like bang out some push-ups? I mean, he looks like he does nothing.
No, he doesn't work out.
Nothing. He doesn't even look like a Navy chef. Like, he doesn't even have the yeah. build of a chef.
You would think if you had to showcase, you just like, I don't know, for like a month going into it, like worst case, you do 10 push-ups a day or something. Fucking nothing. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
And this, like, it seems like he's in better shape in this
I know,
than
yeah.
he is in some of, like,
the earlier
movies
stuff.
We've
yeah,
talked about.
Yeah.
Like, he tried.
No, this is his best this offering. Is, yes. Across
I think Hard to Kill is his best, like, because he has, like, the most physical, the montage, the comeback montage. I think that's when he's, like, at his best shape we've seen him at, right? Because I think we see him shirtless with Kelly LeBrock in that.
Oh, you do, yeah.
Yeah, and he's, yeah.
And then when he's doing his little like canned or his little like
acupuncture, yeah.
with incense.
Yeah, he's got his little bitch tits and inverted. So
he's got
out.
Five sativa joints stuck into holes in his back.
So the caterers are walking around, and this is where we get like our favorite like Polish Chicago guy, who's like, "There's the Twinkies. Where's Miss July?"
That guy. Real Navy officer that they let be in a movie, like a truck driver
in a lot of movies where he's just like there to add authenticity, like playing like he's in The Fugitive.
Is he in Brooklyn 99?
No, that dude is, but that's not who he's talking
oh, that's
about.
Not
right?
who
yes,
about.
Okay. But that dude is on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yeah.
This is the dude in the mustache who gets like shot in the knee.
That's right.
He's like
he's one of the first guys in the forecastle or whatever that's called.
Yes. Yeah.
So Busey is, you know, he left and he's like, I got to put my dress on, and he was serious and he puts on drag for some fucking reason.
Now he's pretending like he's Miss July.
Right. That's going to be the joke if they were actually having this thing, yeah. but he's in on it and knows that it's a terrorist attack.
Yep.
Why does he also still need to go into? Why does he need to keep that part of it up?
And Ramirez is trying to. It makes no sense.
Like, we're saying the band doesn't need to play it all.
He doesn't need to
arguably
dress up.
Does not need to set up the instruments.
If anything, like the dressing up, it pushes too far. Like the captain's weirded out by it. Everybody, it's like completely out of character for the XO, who's like known as a dick, and everybody's like, guess he's an all right guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Ramirez like kind of knows something's up and like wants to know where Seagal is.
Right. Yeah. Cause like, it's weird that
boys from the fucking, like
the mess.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
All kind of know something's going on. The pies are starting to burn. Busey goes to get the captain. And this is when the fucking, they kind of let the plan, rip. They let things go.
Because he asked for the highest ranking officer.
Yeah, Tommy Lee Jones wants to, like, the highest ranking officer in there.
That is so funny that the plan is, let's play two songs. Wait, no, no, no. Let's do three. All right, guys. No, no, no. We got to do two songs and start the terrorist activity. It's like, why don't we skip the first? He's like, no, no, no. Trust me. We got to get, we lull him. Wait for Busey to come in with the fucking dressed as a woman. Like, the plan requires so much nuance just for the sake of filming. And it excites me so much.
It could have been, like one song, but then they're like, they felt it. And they're like, hey, shit, this is fucking, we're sounding
nailing it.
Yeah, they're like, Tommy Lee Jones comes out with the harmonica. He's like, pause it. Push the attack off one song. We're killing. Busey's like rushing to get his Spanx on upstairs.
Busey shoots the captain. The Polish dude gets shot in the knee. Like Cole Meany, the guy O'Brien from Star Trek The Next Generation, is one of the bad guys.
Oh yeah.
And he shoots the captain again. It's like, all right, we're on track. All the caterers have weapons tucked away.
They got in with like submachine guns.
Oh, that's where Meany the guy holding, like standing guard outside the captain's office, is about to bust in and get Busey, and then Meany shoots him, and that's where Busey's just like, oh, nice shot. It's a great small little moment, you know.
Seagal hears the gunfire, knows something's up, keeps trying to convince the private of like, come on, that's gunfire, something's going on.
That's gunfire, you know what that is. You got to call. You're not going to get in trouble for calling.
They seal
come on,
all
I got pies
the, they
in the
seal
oven.
The guys in.
That line that they say there that kind of establishes everything. Like, they go, we're sealed completely on this compartment and this compartment. It's no man's land in between anyone else. And then later on, they're like, he's in the kitchen. The kitchen has access to the entire ship. Yes. It's like, they're like, okay, we get it. Casey Ryback's out of your guys' hands.
And the caterers are all well cast. They all look like true fucking goons.
Like thick neck goons in cummerbunds and shit.
A couple guys try to jump the caterers and they get shot. And Tommy Lee Jones is like, you will get shot and the man next to you will get shot or some shit like that. With like to threaten everybody to just kind of justify why these guys aren't like
attacking because they're soldiers. Yeah. That's because that, like Stanger was saying, in that moment right there, I'm like, why are these guys all walking with their hands on their heads? I would be like, aren't we soldiers? Like, we should do something. And then they fucking clear it up for you. They give you like a good...
Yeah, just something. You know, believe it or not, but at least they're saying something.
A stretch, but at least they're giving you something. They go through the captain's quarters, find a safe where Busey finds his own evaluation. And, you know, like, great joke where he's like, do I look like I need a psychological evaluation?
And then he pulls his wig cap
he's got
off
a
at that moment.
Cap on and he's fucking like, oh. Lipstick on. We kind of meet the main bad guy crew. We got Mr. Pitt, who's like a weaselly looking white dude. He's like their computer guy.
Mr. Pitt.
Then he has like kind of like an Asian assistant. And then there's a bigger black dude.
The bald black dude who looks kind of like a badass.
Then we got our Irish guy, Cole Meany. And then we got Busey and Tommy Lee Jones. And that's sort of like the inner circle of bad
And they
guys.
Will find Tommy Lee Jones is from, because for this middle, we should talk about in the second act, Tommy Lee Jones transitions from a CIA operative terrorist to a shock jock radio host. Every scene of him is he's just like, ooh, yeah, he's talking into the microphone's all set up like it's a fucking radio studio.
They're really ripping off Die Hard, like too, and they're working too much to make it like Die Hard, because like part of their plan is to make Washington think that he's crazy.
Right.
But why?
Why?
They don't need to.
It doesn't matter. No. It's not important for the narrative. Yeah. Just that they're,
Right. But that is like same thing as Die Hard, right?
Because
there's a cover crime, but they're really just trying to make money.
I mean, I guess they want them to believe that they'll launch those missiles to Honolulu. So, I mean, I guess if he's. Right. Showcases that he's crazy enough that they'll back off.
So the private finally calls. He and then now our inner circle of bad guys are like, holy shit, there are two guys in the kitchen that has access to the whole entire ship.
So that's where that kind of like is a little forgivable too, because they're all like bothered by that
and
surprise.
This is also it's awesome because they're just slicing big chunks of meat and chucking it. One dude eats it. The big badass dude eats it like he's a fucking animal. And they're all just like throwing fucking like roast beef around the room.
Catching it. And it's got a great meat slapping sound when they catch it.
The Foley artist is like looking at the list of stuff he has to get done. He's like, meat landing in sailor's hands? Wait, hold on. What movie is this?
And he has like a countless amount of audio files for that already.
Yeah.
He's
like, oh, see, roast beef for him. Roast beef? Yeah, okay. I got
so
that.
Tommy Lee Jones is alarmed. Busey undersells Ryback and is like, he's just some pain in the ass cook. And Tommy Lee Jones sends a couple guys down.
We'll be sending somebody to relieve you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, you heard that shot, right? And the guy still does it. He's like, no, I'm going to be fine. Everything all right, sir? We thought the dude's like slow or
he's
something.
Like, yeah. They're poppers.
Yeah.
They're just party poppers. Party and favors, firecrackers.
The two guys who come down to relieve him. It's like,
they sneak up on him.
Why would you just walk up and go, hey, we're here. You're free to go. Instead, they come crawling in with two machine guns. Like, it's like, you're selling yourself out as bad guys.
And they're like also cartoon like buddy bad guys. Like one guy's kind of tiny and one guy's tall.
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, I'm going to send guys to relieve you. They will be dressed in non-military outfits holding machine guns.
And Jones is like, these guys are professional. They can handle 20 Marines and 100 cooks.
Yeah, in between bites.
Yeah.
And 100 cooks. You know, that's one of those things to where like casting and costume, you know, when the director saw the two guys that were going down there, it was just like, well, shit.
So Seagal's got a lot of great lines.
Oh, but I wanted
to, like, sometimes you got to question authority.
Yeah.
He's totally pushing his, like, they had him riffing in that room for like, we're going to just shoot it. You just fucking say things that would try to get this guy to unlock you.
These guys take out the fucking private ferret, like they overkill him.
That's what I wanted to say. It's like on the day, like the two guys that are going to do that scene show up and the director's like, all right, I guess we'll have to have them look cartoonishly bad and goofily cast, but it's what we got. We need to make our day. So,
and they go to kill Seagal, but he's like crawled up into the ventilation system of the freezer that pops down.
How much money would you guys pay to see him legitimately try to crawl up into a ventilation set?
I would pay $800 to watch Seagal do a chin up.
Yeah, I would definitely.
He's like 6'3 or something, right? Like stuffing his big unathletic ass up in there. I mean, it's probably one of those things like he wouldn't be able to pull it off, you know? He just keeps slipping and falling.
So Seagal locks these guys in the freezer, but they shoot their way out. He like does some MacGyver shit to get the cuffs off. They're in front of him, but they're still on. Then he takes off his shirt, shows off his fucking great physique in his tank top, grabs some throwing knives, hits one dude right in the neck
instantly. I love it.
Breaks the other guy's windpipe. He like fucking chops. He like gives him like a karate chop.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He's like one of the few dudes who like still does the chop.
Yeah. Hey, very satisfying to see it. Yeah.
His neck, right? Is this the guy he puts on the ground and then like literally chops or puts on the table?
Yeah.
Chops him on the neck and you see it like break.
Does he stab somebody in the armpit too or something?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, those are like later. The guys that are like constructing like the crane.
That's right.
Then he grabs some like, and we later learn that he's an explosives.
He's a MacGyver.
He does a lot of MacGyver stuff in this, and he puts some like steel wool and a bunch of chemicals into like a teacup, puts it in the microwave, makes a little bomb,
sets the alarm, but has killed the power.
Yes.
Or sets the timer, but's killed the power.
That's such a baller thing.
Yeah.
I love that shit. Like I love stuff like that in movies when it's like the sort of like men, like good guys using guerrilla tactics. Like, I love those, like, makeshift, like, bombs and stuff. Like, when Catwoman puts the aerosol cans in the microwave in Batman. Like, I love, like, that's a way to, you can make something blow up.
A buddy of mine who's a Green Beret was a demolition expert. And he would do, like, close-range improvised weapons with explosives. So, like, it would be, like, you know, set up a small amount of explosives to like blow a manhole cover into like a crowd of people and like be able to crush them and shit.
You met him in improv class, right?
Yeah.
He's the stuff at UCB. He's the guy we were talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
he doesn't get game at all.
Yeah.
So, no small explosives, close-up explosives.
So some like F-18s are on their way to check out like the chopper for some reason. Like, doesn't really make sense.
I don't fully understand the buzz by
left.
Yeah.
And like, so they're going to see what happened to it. So
because they have
Buzz
the
by.
Bad guys haven't made contact yet,
yeah,
right, with
With Washington.
With Washington. No, with Washington, yeah. With
Seagal finds the captain's dead body, puts his, like, white
dress jacket
over him.
And then also, like, pulls his pants down and then has him, like, hanging from a noose with, like, pornography.
Yeah, he sets him up for a real... sets him up to be truly embarrassed.
Yeah. He doesn't want him to be embarrassed getting shot on his own ship. He's like, let's have him die. Just kind of like... He was jerking off a little bit. The guy in the F-18 is like, Missouri, are you targeting me? And they're like, negative. And it's like, we're on lock. We're on lock. And they blow up the F-18.
It's awesome. Like,
welcome to the revolution.
That's me. That was me.
There's landscapers outside, so Stanger gets excited.
Shit is really... Like,
sorry. I can't help it. But my dog sounds
this
real.
This episode's a full fucking meltdown. Full meltdown.
Sorry, I like to make dog sounds when the landscapers are here.
So now we finally get the fucking Tommy Lee Jones, like, better call the office, and we're playing Hendrix.
I forgot about
that. That must be the cheapest Hendrix song because it's the only one I really hear in movies.
And this is like this played is when Hendrix really sold out to like early 90s. It's also like. A few years later, Hogan started using this as an entrance music for WCW, so it must have been really cheap.
But it's just that one song, because can you think of any other Hendrix songs in movies? It's rare.
No.
It's just that one. Yeah,
but it's also his like biggest hit, like his most recognizable song.
Yeah.
The Watchtower?
No. This is...
the cover?
If I stand right next to a mountain, I could chop down with
chop
the back
it down
of my hand.
Chop down with the edge of my hand.
Yeah. It's got a great opening riff.
Yeah. I wonder if it's... Oh, yeah, that... Yeah, that's in, like, every movie.
And Hogan used to come out to it playing the shittiest air guitar of all time. Oh,
when he was Hollywood Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, when he was Hollywood Hogan.
He had the fucking spray-painted-on black beard.
So we find
take down Gawker, brother. Peter Thiel, brother. Or I don't know how to play a guitar, brother.
Brother, I'm a wrestler, not an air guitarist, brother. You better believe Hollywood Hogan will shut down your website.
It's not an air guitar, brother. It's a keytar, if you look closely at what I'm doing.
You'll notice I have no pick, brother. Brother, I'm a guy, playing air guitar. It's a game within a game, brother. So fucking the war room, we get this like sleazy CIA guy who is like the reason Tommy Lee Jones lost his shit. Cause, Tommy Lee Jones
was some black ops
was
group.
A black ops guy that they tried to kill. Cause like they thought they lost control of him.
Yeah. Well, he blew a mission. Supposedly they think
the sub
mission.
Yeah. But what he did, we later learn, is steal the sub,
right? Steal the North American or the North Korean.
He's laying some groundwork for some plans later
on
in life.
Operation Cleopatra. You canceled Operation Cleopatra. Then you tried to cancel me.
Found him down in Florida. He goes into hiding. He's like an international CIA. He's like, yeah, I'm down in Tallahassee doing yard work.
That's where I'd go. Check out Universal and
Orlando. Yeah.
He was just hanging out at Universal Studios.
Universal
Studios. He was just riding the Back to the Future ride over and over again. He was pretty easy to find.
Doing a fan boat tour and, you know, kind of fun stuff.
So, Tommy Lee Jones is trying to act crazy. And,
oh,
like,
this is what Busey's
like,
laughing
covering
at.
Covering his mouth, trying to, and they buy it. They're like, he's flipped.
Yeah.
So, in order to set this storyline that they want for some reason is Tommy Lee Jones has to be insane. But for the viewers to know that Tommy Lee Jones is faking insanity, we need to see Gary Busey like covering up like a fucking like a bullet, like a class clowns
laughing at church or something. Yeah. I would say I think what they're what their plan was is they want the threat of violence. Yeah. And so
it makes total sense. Yeah.
So the guys are like,
and plus you underestimate someone you think is just losing their mind. You know, you won't like,
yeah,
like not worry so much about tactical stuff if you think.
And meanwhile, the minions on the ship are all welding, like creating some sort of structure.
We don't know what they're doing yet.
And everybody's saying, like, all the ADRs are like, time is money, let's go.
And then there's like a 40-second scene where he's like, time is money. Love that expression. Money is time. Like, it's like, all right, we got it. Yeah. We're moving fast. We're trying to make money.
And Seagal's making his way through the ship, goes to the mess where, like, there's a bunch of dead bodies from the initial, takeover of the ship.
Yeah.
He pushes the cake, which activates the cake and springs to life like she's a fucking android or something.
She's been in there. We're to assume she's been in there just
through gunfire. Like, through, like...
And 40 minutes after.
Yeah. And she just pops out, like, just doing her song and dance, like, with her fucking tits out.
No looking around. Starts
eyes closed. Have you ever tried to like tying your shoe and stuff, like sitting in like a crouched position?
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
So Seagal, like,
we're supposed to assume this woman has been sitting in a cake with her tits out for 40 minutes now. Pass out in there?
Yeah. And then come to and be like, oh god, it must be showtime.
Yeah, that's what we're supposed to believe, but like it doesn't
read like that.
But what does add up is that Miss July's got a fucking great set of breasts.
She's got huge boobs. I mean,
they're amazing.
Yeah. She's got a unique look. I like her short. She's got short blonde hair.
Short hair. Yeah. She's beautiful. Real babe. Yeah.
Erica Elania. She was on Baywatch.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember her from Baywatch.
Yeah.
This is the first of four of the most random sexy outfits they put on this girl.
Knowing all the Seagal shit now, the scene where she's like, my agent told me I just had to get out of a cake and I'm an actress. Like, it rings differently now than it did at the time.
Yeah, fuck, dude. Yeah.
No, but like, you watch it and he's just like kind of uninterested in her, just trying to like move on. You know, we realize like this probably horrible process she had to go through to get this part. You know,
he's got to be severe, like savior guy. So it's like, put some clothes on. Yeah. And I got to protect you.
Cover yourself.
You a special forces guy or something? Nah, just a cook. That was a trailer line.
Yeah, of course.
Was, like, in all the commercials. Great advertising for this movie.
Yeah, and they also like really ran with it, like on the Food Network and stuff.
You know? Him and Guy Fieri co-hosted a show for like two seasons.
So
I'm just a cook, and like he's supposed to fend off attackers while Guy Fieri makes like donkey sauce.
Outstanding.
We cut back to the war room where we reveal that there are 8 nukes on this ship, and like they're like, how did he get it? And the CIA guys like, that's a specialty. The North Koreans bought a French sub and we had them destroy that.
Yeah.
It's like, are we sure it's destroyed? And of course, no, it's not destroyed. He has control of that. And he's using that to offload these nukes.
Oh, I was right. So it wasn't the submission that he blew. It was another one that he...
Right, yeah.
But yeah, and that's what...
And he talks to the... And so like we immediately see him talking to the sub that he calls Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, and then like it's like a cartoonish sea captain is the in charge of that.
It's like a
cartoon French seaman. Yeah. And it's like a Euro crew on the sub.
Yeah. This cuts like a guy with like a big white beard.
Again, like wardrobe and like art and stuff. And the, you know, the director's just seeing this like, all right, this is the fucking sub crew.
Okay, cliched 90s movie thing of just having the bad guy be really into cartoons. And Tommy Lee Jones is like, never been caught. Beep, beep.
Yeah. Meep, meep. Yeah.
And Roadrunner. And he does a weird, crazy Saturday morning cartoon at the end of the movie. Like,
yeah, he
monologue.
References something that nobody knows what it is.
So they realize the guys who went to kill Seagal haven't checked in yet. So
yeah, hey, have you heard from the duo, the one tall guy, one small guy?
Yeah.
Seagal meanwhile tries to lock Miss July in a locker, and she's like, no, I'm not gonna stay in the, and she's pounding like a fucking animal that like is locked in a cage.
She has a valid point.
Yeah, well, apparently like this was something that like he tried to do at his in his dressing room one time, and they're like, oh, we could like use this for the movie.
It's insane. I mean, their dynamic in this scene is fucking crazy. Where it's, he's like, come on, somebody's gonna shoot you if you keep making noise. Let me just lock you in this box.
You'll be safe in here. You're out of sight. You'll be safe.
You're coming with me. You got to be invisible.
If you we walk past
a hatch and you see the enemy, you become the hatch.
Only time something like that comes up in the movie. And also, does he never does any like camouflage or anything? No. Like, he sets it up like you're like that's going to be paid off.
Give you an assault rifle.
It's an MPK
five. There's a selector switch on it.
Yeah, you're going to be using the single shot one.
One is fully automatic. The other semi-automatic.
You and just remember the dots on the guy. That's where the bullet goes. All right, get back in the locker.
Just shot so strangely, where it's like just like Seagal almost talking to camera.
Yeah, I think he like spikes the camera a few times in this movie, yeah, where he just goes right into it. You know,
The definition of semi-automatic is one single round. That's what I want you to do. You're firing one round.
She's like, I don't like guns, but then later has a total switch and is like suddenly kind of a badass.
Yeah.
Jones, meanwhile, goes down to the kitchen and sees like how the mess that was made of his men. It's like, this guy's a professional. And Busey's like, no, we got lucky. And then the fucking bomb finally.
Someone flips the circuit. Yeah.
He perfectly timed the bomb to go off.
Yeah. Someone's like hey, look, the circuit's off. Yeah.
He's good with knives. All right. He was trying to prepare a sauce and it exploded in the microwave. Okay.
He's good with sauces and knives. That's we've learned so
far. He's a kitchen guy. He's very strange.
He's outside of the kitchen. I know the kitchen has access to everywhere in this shit.
He was just moving that gun and accidentally fired it because he was trying to cook something else. It's all too perfect.
This guy's a professional. The war room is sending SEAL Team 5 in. And this is a great line where they're like, what's our odds of success? It's like, well, if he's crazy, pretty good. If he's not, very bad.
There's a few lines in this movie that just like where someone just says the non-written part, like the non-dialogue part of a screenplay.
Yeah, so it's a great
exterior war room.
It's a great war room. Like all they look like real military guys. It feel you know.
I like the guy who plays the admiral a lot.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. He's like I feel like he's always every movie he's in, he's sitting down somewhere and saying something. There's a great moment in the war room where they're having like a super intense conversation about like the nukes, and then like just you know background business, like an aide comes over and like puts down a folder in between two other people and they're kind of just like looking at it and pointing. It's like I'm positive you have to pay attention if you're sitting at that table. Well, like there's no other research you could be handed that
at one point. Like somebody sits down and like super loud pornography turns on and we look over and it's Rogers.
Well, sorry, he's like there's no jerking off in the war room. First draft Stanley Kubrick movies.
So there, this is when we learn that, you know, if the SEALs fail, we're going to blow up the whole ship.
Yeah.
This is a classic, like same thing as basically the same plot as The Rock.
Right.
And also like we realize how dangerous the missiles are, like they have on those planes, like 100,000 or a million people in like 10 seconds or something. Yeah. It's like, it sounds made up. It could be real though. Right.
A million people will diarrhea themselves in 10 seconds if this lands.
Yeah, that's like, and then the guys are like, we'll just blame Ryback.
That's later.
So sorry. Ryback, this is when we learn he's an ex-SEAL badass. And they,
in peak Seagal fashion, peak Seagal character backstory, he's a legend badass. But the reason he's in this low status position is because he punched a higher officer. Like that's his dream, is to be like, he would have been the number one police officer in the world if he wouldn't just stop standing up for women, you know, or like something
so
stupid.
So this is Busey explaining to
Busey's like, Ryback's an ex-SEAL.
He's like, his file was locked up. He never got wind of that. Like the captain was never like, actually, you know, Ryback did some fucking heavy duty shit.
Well, the thing that also makes no sense is that Ryback and Tommy Lee Jones also know each other.
I know.
That was completely unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
Maybe improvised altogether.
It's gotta be.
Well, because when he goes, Ryback, he's like heard it before. And then when they run into each other, it's like, you got it. Why?
To see you
it's
again.
Unnecessary.
Totally unnecessary.
It's so unnecessary.
I feel like they're like, we gotta give this some emotional stakes.
Yeah, they have to have a history.
But
because there's also like a thing of like the CIA is all bad and intelligence is bad. Like the intelligence guys are the bad guys.
Right.
So
because they're the pencil pushers.
We get a great scene of like Miss July bitching about and moaning about like carrying the gear, and Seagal's like, "Hey, I believe in women's lib, don't you?"
Oh, I know. There's going to be a super cut. There's going to be a super cut of him that's going to be his undoing.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah, you can put a super cut of all the fucking misogynistic shit he says in all his movies, along with all the
like headlines of accusations.
But I tell you, you do a little button with the Caraggio scene, all forgotten. So you just gotta be careful how you do that stuff.
She lays down rules of like, because he tries giving her a gun and gives her like the like, you know, just point the fucking laser at and she's like, I don't date musicians, I don't kill people.
Yeah, she's got, I got one rule. Well, I got two rules. Yeah, and then
he's like, he's kind of got the attitude of like constantly, you're right, like older brother, younger sister, where he's like kind of always rolling her eyes at her.
Like, well, yeah, like, they dress her up like a little girl in this year. She's got a backwards diagonal kind of like how you look right now.
Well, that's my joke with like wardrobe and art. Like they're just having some fun, like pulling her hair through. It's just like, Jesus, guys, relax. And also he just throws her some like gear and like it fits her perfect, you know?
And he's like, he's got so much gear in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's just got any gear at any
time. He's the chef, and he goes to his locker and gets, like, fucking a woman size outfit and his own size outfit completely.
He's doing martial arts on guys kind of randomly, like, that they run into.
Honestly, that could be the Time Warner description of any one of his movies. He does random martial arts to guys he's running into.
Kind of randomly.
Just like, the geography of the ship kind of never makes sense.
It doesn't even make sense why he has to get out at this moment to blow the chopper to demonstrate that
this is where he makes the SEAL phone, and she's like, kind of like a car phone. He's like, yeah, whatever, you dummy.
And it's like
he contacts the war room, and they're all they all get
directly calls the war room.
Ryback, wish we had him on this mission. We just might. Hey, I'll guarantee Chief Ryback, he's a good guy.
Well, and they like immediately put it on to speaker, and it's just like, I don't know, like trying to like sort out Bluetooth in your car, and it's hard enough. Like, you can just get it in the room.
Calling
and, like,
from a lifeboat in the Missouri.
Yeah, she finally realizes, like, hey, you're not just a cook. And he's like, yeah, well, I also cook. And then this is where we learn that his Panama SEAL team was all killed because of bad intelligence. And then he punched his commanding officer. And then the captain let him serve out the rest of his 20 as the cook on the
ship.
So he
wouldn't lose his pension.
Yeah.
And,
And then, or be dishonorably discharged. And then, but I'm telling you, that's also where his note was. Hey, what if I'm not a good guy? What if I'm the best guy? All right. I'm the best guy.
So, you know, this is where Tommy Lee Jones says he's going to sell, these things are going to sell like hotcakes. They're selling for like $200 million or something.
He's like making business calls. Yeah. Like, is this, or not yet, or is that later?
Well, that's
like,
later. Where
that's
doing
a great
like
sequence.
Selling,
like, he's like Jim Cramer, Mad Money.
Yeah. So we kind of like can paint like, business, like rich stockbroker guy shit on this. Cause it's like all appealing. Again, if you want to figure out the Trump administration, just watch the movies we talk about.
Yeah.
It's like all Trump targets where it's like, you know, corporate business guys that don't get it, even though he is. And then it's like,
but he doesn't. But he thinks he's Casey Ryback in his mind.
And it's like the old school guys are right. Like, like when he incorporates the fucking World War II guy into like the fucking.
That's such a. That's like the plot of the movie Battleship. It's like all we have is this old battleship and all these World War II vets, and they're like, get them going. It's like, come on.
So this is where he blows up the
gunnery
helicopter.
Sergeant. Yeah.
He blows up the helicopter for some reason.
You see, he gets to leap like paint he's thinner. An explosives expert, but he can't get the timer to be. Oh, he uses paint thinner.
He
uses paint
thinner. He just finds paint thinner, stabs it,
leaps off the ship with the rope.
It looks
because
it looks awesome. He uses a grenade, pulls the pin out, and then he's got like he's pierced the paint thinner so that it'll keep losing weight, and then it's sitting on top of the handle. So eventually, when it gets light enough. The grenade will fall.
And the paint thinner is just a little icing on the grenade cake. So the paint thinner is going to catch fire the second the grenade goes off.
And they like see him as he's like planning this shit, and they start firing on him. They catch Miss July, so he kills everybody. He like shoots these guys that got Miss July. He's like just taking guys out left and right.
Man.
they realize they got to do something. Busey's like, this insanity is so logical. They start flooding the
forecastle.
Is it the Folsom?
It's something they're
Folsom or something.
Yeah,
like
the Folsom or something Folsom, like
that. But it's spelled forecastle. You're right.
Yeah. I didn't even know what the specific they were saying until I saw that.
Seagal hears some Morse code. He's like, "It's Morse code. But get me the fuck out of here."
He's like, "What are they saying? To get me the fuck out of here."
Throws on welding gear that's just around. Like, oh,
the funniest thing is he's got the welding torch and then out of nowhere pulls the goggles up. It's just like, all right.
A weird kind of reunion between him and like his buddy. It's like, "Ryback, you okay?" "Yeah. You okay?" "Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought we would never fuck again."
And then there's like, and it's the dude from Ace Ventura Pet Detective.
Yes.
The kind of fat guy.
Oh, yeah. From Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then a dude who was like served the Navy in like 1944.
The older black dude, get your tools.
Yeah.
And then the young,
they show Ryback a video of the crew drowning. Is, you know, like,
look at any monitor anywhere near.
Weird. They somehow get that live for him, like some guy, you know, it's like Periscope before it existed, or you know,
look at any of the number of monitors we have in every room on a Navy ship, and you can see your friends drowning.
Check out our live Instagram story of
and
this.
And of course, our crew of new heroes that he's assembled has one weasel, like this white dude who's like just in the Navy to get a college degree. It's like, I did laundry during the Desert Storm.
Yeah. And it's like a handsome actor. You know?
Yeah. You're like, supposed to really hate this.
He reminds me of the bad guy from Ghost, that actor who's in Scandal and shit.
Yeah. This guy's good.
And Seagal's like, it's not a job, it's an adventure. Does the old Navy slogan.
It's such
slogans
a weird.
Have gotten bad recently. This is peak. We had, it's not a job, it's an adventure. Aim High, Air Force.
Silly Rabbit, Tricks Are for Kids. All the big ones.
Be all you can be.
Yeah.
Now it's like...
It's like Army Strong, Marine Strong, Navy Strong.
Yeah, they're all kind of lazy.
They're lazy, yeah.
Be all that you can be. It was hard to fucking top.
Do you remember the Marine commercial where he like kills like a fucking Baylor demon with like a sword and then like...
And the sword becomes like the Marine.
Yeah,
it was
that
awesome.
Was a cool
it was awesome.
I joined the Marines. I served 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, they put you in the brig. For like playing D&D while fucking attack went down.
I was dressed as a woman. I swore it was for the captain's surprise party, but no one believed me.
The Be All You Can Be had a song.
Be all that you can be.
Get an edge on life in the army.
Yeah. I thought I was faking that song, and that really is the
one. No, it's
be all that you can be.
Get an edge on life,
I think. It's an edge on life?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was better.
It could be better. Yeah.
Maybe get better at life.
Yeah.
Get your shit life to be slightly better in the army. What?
Or die.
Jesus.
And if your life is true shit, don't worry.
Shout out to the vets out there.
Thank you.
We love you guys.
Happy advent to the vets.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your service.
So he fucking chucks, like, he's making bombs. His buddy Ramirez, like, puts, like, a bunch of bombs on, like, a vest and, like, blows up some dudes. And they kind of start, like, a little resistance.
Little insurrection, yeah.
Yeah. And they call
he does
Ryback.
The cool. He does the cool. Another great cliche is
two machine guns.
No, that comes up next. I'm jumping back for a second. The grenade in the crank
the door,
in the door wheel,
it's
like he's like we're like this guy's good, and like Tommy Lee is one step bad. He's like don't open, blows those guys up.
It's great.
So they call Ryback in the middle of this gunfight, and
he
Mr.
answers.
Lye picks up.
Yeah,
it's like he's in the middle of a gunfight.
This is where I think the tone of the movie changes a little bit. Like it gets a little goofy.
It's pretty goofy.
Yeah,
and the admiral's like they got a lot of trouble on that ship.
And
he's like, yes, sir. Yeah, you didn't follow my orders. That's right, sir.
Yeah, it's you
like,
court-martial me when I get back or whatever.
If I live, you can court-martial me. And he's got two machine guns. She's suddenly super brave and like want. It's like the safest place on this ship is behind you.
Which apparently, according to I was doing Arnold press, you know, like rotating through to the top with some dumbbells. And I overheard some guys next to me doing decline flies. And they were saying that's a famous quote about some guy who won the Silver Star, like a dude in the military. And it's like,
it's just something somebody else said, kind of.
Yeah.
That's right.
So when the guy at the gym said it, I was like, oh, so you're just admitting the writer of the movie's rip. Oh, yeah, got it.
This is a fucking great kill where he just drops a beam on some guy.
Pulls
a line that was just like just holding a fucking like steel beam in the air. And
it's just like one pull to like, I mean, I know there's all kinds of knots and stuff in the Navy, but I mean, it's like a pretty heavy beam.
And luckily for him, the guy was doing like a back arch, like bend, so that it was able to go directly into his chest and not like the head or shoulder, something harder to shoot.
He's doing a Shavasana with a lot of back bends and stuff, and he was in a full wheel. And so
these guys are all building a crane and he fucking takes them all out. He like knifes a dude.
He takes them all out, including one guy three times.
Yes.
The mustache guy is seen three times get shot. He falls down the same
stairs. He gets sawed eventually.
One dude falls down the stairs, the same dude twice, and I'm positive it's the same shot. They just use it. One time he throws a knife, one time he shoots a gun. Also, he's running doing the crossed MP5s, so which is like...
So Tommy Lee Jones is like making stock deals and shit, and like telling like his buddy to fucking like make deals like a French businessman.
buy, sell.
And meanwhile, Mr. Pitt loses the systems. They're all fucked up.
Oh, because 20 minutes ago, they said they should lose comms later.
Something that Seagal has done.
The SEAL team's going to land. They fucking blow the SEAL team out of the sky with some like
rocket RPGs. Launchers from the sub because they can't use the defense on the ship.
Yeah, it was like surface to air missile. Yeah. Like,
so they got to do the full air assault and like blow the whole ship up and just like call it a wash so they won't fire the nuclear weapons. Jones sees all the fucking chaos that Seagal's made and is like, why didn't you hire this guy? Which is a classic, like the bad guy respects the hero so much.
Yeah. I don't know what it would have cost, but I don't know why you didn't hire this guy. And then also once they use the shoulder mounted surface air missile to take out the helicopter, Seagal realizes that there's a sub in the mix. Like he didn't know that before.
Right. Yeah.
And and so he like starts dismantling bombs and creating like MacGyver super bombs.
Yeah.
And he like fucking puts
he gets
on
his fourth outfit change.
He's got the girl helping him. It's like the whole.
And he climbs down the
you
anchor
also,
chain.
Like, don't need the wetsuit. Like, if your speed is paramount, you could just get. I mean, I understand the water's probably cold and that sucks. But if it's like you need to get this thing set,
I want
to
put on all kinds of different gear.
And so the crew of the submarine starts throwing grappling hooks at him, and one
firing
of them,
wildly off the side of the ship. And
one
stuff.
Of them he, like takes. Out his back, which like slows him down for this one scene.
Yeah, he's gonna have. Yeah.
He blows up. One scene. He blows up like a part of the submarine, so it can't
submerge.
Descend.
Yeah. That one foreigner and one Gary Busey knows how to work.
Yes.
That's the choice I was talking about earlier is like the fact that Gary Busey's character like gets it and is like frustrated when he's like, I'll fix it. Like, that's such a funny choice for that character who's an XO to be like, I know how to make submarine sink. I know how to actually physically fix it.
Cole Meany like is like about to shoot him and the girl fucking shoots him.
I wondered if that was ever going to happen based on all the fucking.
And then she gets her little joke line. Yeah. Or no, he says a joke to her, like, next thing you know, you're going to be dating musicians, right?
Or a chef. Let go of me.
Doesn't he say that to her?
I can't remember.
Yes.
I just remember the bad guys being like, where's Dahmer? And then one dude's like, probably dead.
Yeah, because it's her two rules. Is she doesn't use guns,
right?
Or doesn't kill people and won't date musicians. And so when she saves his life and he's like all beat up, he's like, next thing you know, you're going to be dating musicians.
So she bandages him up and he's fine for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, completely mobile.
Completely not affected whatsoever.
As a matter of fact, he will move his arms a lot during a knife fight.
Seemingly more agile after this.
And like the rest of his team kind of just appears. Like, I don't know what they were doing.
Like, you know, like that third act moment where it's like, we got through our part of the story. And they're all like,
and they like have nothing that will pierce the submarine's like hull, and it hits Seagal of like, Calloway, gunner's mate,
He's like, gunnery, yeah.
We still got shells for these. And so they have the old shells that, like, this dude from the 40s will, like, know how to, like, operate. You know, they would all know.
Meanwhile, yeah. It's fucking Miss July who's like, stop it! Like, she's, like, calling the
I know, stuff. She's, like, involved.
She's immediately caught up, like.
Yeah. And they use her to kind of explain shit of, like, but if we blow up the sub, won't the nukes go off? Doesn't work like that. They'll just sink with the sub.
Yeah. But, hey.
Right, it works, like it. And it's actually that in that moment you realize, oh, if you put just some non-military person in the movie, you can explain everything about it to that person. Yeah.
And there's a lot of good tension of, like, will Busey be able to fix the sub in time so it can submerge, or will Seagal be able to blow it up?
Yeah.
And so they're giving him, like, Seagal, like, is fucking a super genius and, like, knows everything.
He's, yeah. Like, he's a Navy SEAL turned chef who's an explosives expert. But so he can also eyeball archaic military technology.
Yeah. Like. And they blow up the sub, of course. And now Tommy Lee Jones knows he's fucked.
But
and
there's
he
a great
losing it.
There's a great for us moment to where when bad guys know they're dead.
Yeah.
You know, they have the kind of right before they die. We get a good one of those in there.
Yeah.
Like Busey and the
Busey
French.
And the fucking weird. Like what was that cartoon with the kid and his dog with the fucking spike
Toto.
In his hair?
No, Tintin.
Yeah, Tintin. Yeah. It's like a Tintin character. Right. Totally. It's all got that, like,
he's like a heavy set, like, burr, burr, burr. Yeah. I'm a constable.
And they all know they're going to die.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee Jones does a Saturday morning cartoons fucking monologue, and everybody's getting, like, weirded out, and he kind of kicks them away, decides that he's going to just fucking nuke Honolulu.
Yeah.
So make Honolulu glow in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah. This little piggy went home, and he's, like, flipping switches, going bonkers, just, like, selling it, like, going real big.
This whole sequence, him in that room, he's doing, like, the Fisher King, like, he's doing, like, Jeff Bridges Fisher King.
Two-Face, Batman Forever.
Yeah. But it's the whole time, it's like he's a radio DJ, because he's got the he's like, all right, listen, you know, and he's like flipping switches.
You know, it's just like Tommy Lee Jones is very confident. He just came and did whatever he wanted, and they're just like, fuck it, let's just let him
do it. And it's going to be undoubtedly the best part of the movie.
Seagal calls the war room. They're fucked because the detonation codes are on the Missouri, which doesn't seem like it makes any sense. And they're like, what's going to happen? Like, approximately 1 million people reach 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit in less than 10 seconds. And then the dudes are like, we'll just blame this cook guy.
I know.
Because the CIA guys are like taking full responsibility. They're like, I guess this is our fault.
Also, like, how can they blame the cook?
How can they retroactively change the story? The cook, everyone is familiar with the cook has done so far.
We just need to hate guys in the war room. Yeah, there need to be bad guys in there.
Yes.
Fucking Seagal, meanwhile, rips out a fucking dude's throat.
This is great. It looks amazing.
Yeah. This is classic Seagal.
Yeah.
Fucking just like reaches a dude's throat and just picks it off.
Real delicate, like.
Fucking grape.
Yeah. Hey, that was my throat.
Yeah. Jones, all the, like, our main bad guys, like, got taken out, like, pretty quickly.
Leaving,
like,
just TLJ.
Yeah, just leaving Tommy Lee Jones. He gets the jump on Seagal and makes Seagal, like, put his gun down, and somehow they know each other.
Yeah.
And I got the key and the lock is broken. You're going to have to watch the end of the world on TV, my man. And Seagal, like, and him kind of have a back and forth where, like, Seagal's like, you know, we're the same.
Yeah.
And then it's like,
because it is like Seagal got fucked over by the military and the government and the CIA, all that shit. And it's like, you think, but that doesn't mean shit. We're going to have the fastest, weirdest knife fight you've ever seen.
We're puppets in a sick play. Both being this is just classic Seagal. And Tommy Lee Jones is like, no, we're different. I you have faith. I don't. Then they have a fucking great knife fight.
It's
this
great.
This stands out. It's like, I never, awesome. I will never forget this.
Tommy Lee Jones is goodness.
They both look great. And I don't know if that's how you're supposed to fight with a knife. And I don't care.
100% it's not. But it looks fucking great. It's that weird movie thing where it just works on screen.
Tommy Lee Jones is old as fuck, but he's athletic. Again, when you see Rolling Thunder, the dude's a beast. Like, he's a ripped guy. Like he can hold his own, and against like fucking Noodle Arm Seagal, like they
and look all Seagal, like all Seagal's speed comes from his rotator cuffs. Like, so if there's anything he can excel at, it's his arms moving around quickly.
Seagal starts to get the upper hand. Tommy Lee Jones puts his knife near Seagal. Seagal bites his knife, rips it out with his mouth. Then he gouges his eyeball.
Oh, man.
Way too graphic.
Stabs the top of his head, jams his head into like the radar screen.
Yeah.
That shit will stand out in my head forever.
Keep the faith.
Yeah, it's great.
The thumb going into the prosthetic head, the knife going into the top. That's just so
brutal. And they show the aftermath of like the vitreous humorous, like coming out of the guy's eye and stuff. Yeah. Snarling.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. So cool.
But no, we're not done yet. The missiles are still on their way to Honolulu. Of course, Washington's guys, they're able to take out one of the missiles. Cool, we're down to one. Rybeck is the last chance. He has the key from Tommy Lee Jones's dead body, plugs it in the machine, and this is the one thing you need. Like, everybody's got to come together, I guess, this. So Washington has to give him the and this shit stresses me out. No matter how many times I see it in a movie, whenever there's like numbers to remember and you're punching correctly, I so know I can't do any of this shit.
I would rather knife fight Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah, I would rather
have to like put in a code correctly.
No, you need the girl from fucking Running Man.
Oh, right.
Can't remember like a 50
beta digit, alpha 4177.
So like, this wait is, like, a minute. We need everybody in the room for this. These fucking instructions. It's a bit of a letdown. Like, Miss July's writing down the numbers. Rybeck double checks it, punches it in, deactivated. Everybody fucking applauds. The war room goes crazy. The one woman in there kisses fucking the commanding officers.
Yeah. It's a note from Seagal. Yeah.
If there's a woman in a scene, she should kiss somebody.
She got to earn her call off the air attack.
Yeah.
And he's giving orders now. Yeah. And like, so they call it off, and then he's like, hey, you want to go swimming? And like, what the fuck are you talking about? Everybody's just in a good mood.
Yeah.
The CIA guy kind of steps out
and smokes.
Smokes.
He's evil.
They let all the guys out of the where they're like drowning. They all fucking go nuts.
Oh yeah, it has them spilling out of the room and stuff. Yeah, like the water spilling out. Like you see him like, whoa, like riding out of there.
Scott, what are you making for breakfast? And one guy's like, subs.
It's like, yeah we see it.
Cue ball shows back up. He's like, Seagal, show me your moves. He's like, here's his move.
And this does not track over the entire movie at all. They are never once flirty or romantic with you, which they totally could be.
There is he's a hero. Where like when they blow up the submarine, he like gives a weird like kind of like predator hand grab to the old school World War II veteran,
and she then looks on like
kind of like hugs him in like a sexual way. That's it.
But it's like for him to just grab her and kiss her at the end, when we now know that doesn't pertain to. But like Seagal doesn't matter. But Rybeck, it's like that's a move that feels
unearned.
He's been acting like her brother the entire movie. Yeah.
Well, that was her audition. She had to like we had to do that.
I blew up. Come to my hotel room. I'm going to blow up a chopper and then sexually.
He was nagging her the whole movie.
Great.
Let's rate this. Let's rate
this bad boy. Classic action movie. We adhere to a classic rating system on this podcast because all we review are classic action movies. Under Siege is certainly no exception. John Gabris, I'll put this to you on a scale of, I'll even add another 0 to 5 stars. We should say 1 to 5, but we'll go 0 to 5 stars.
I guess you could give 0 stars. Yeah, well, now smart. That I know that.
That's true. You could blank
shit.
It
now I can give 0 stars for Tommy Lee Jones.
Where do you have it, John Boy?
Gary Busey film Under Siege, not to be confused with Under Siege 2 Dark Territory with Eric Bogosian. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with, and we're allowed to do 0 now.
You're allowed to do 0.
Okay, 5 stars.
Wow. Okay, all right. Wow.
So Rogers, we're putting it to you.
Affect you, but it did. I mean, yeah. You know,
0 to 5.
I like the philosophy in this more. I like, for me, it's more like the philosophy of the movie is its strength, the action less so. Because I agree, we are all, you know, puppets
in a sick play.
In a sick play. I'm going to give it, factoring in the 0, 5 stars.
Holy smokes. It's amazing.
Okay. So Stanger, back to you. Classic action movie, classic rating system.
Ryback, it turns out, is a SEAL. Like, I'm just as surprised as you are. Wasn't my mistake. I'm gonna be tough. I'm gonna be mean. I'm gonna be
dirty.
Dirty.
I'm going to be dirty and brutal. Brutal, 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 brutal.
Smeagol, 5 stars.
Oh shit. Wow. 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars all around. Well, we are kind of in a rush now, so let's not figure out the math on that. We'll save the math for later.
We'll save that for we just do math.
If you're part of a international, if you have a friend who's part of an international terrorist organization who's constantly pushing his band's flyers and you finally figure out a mission that dovetails nicely with these two things, recommend this podcast to him.
Yeah, if you have a boss, a commanding officer that can get lost in a novel and just like fully engrossed, they might like this podcast. This might be good for them. Yeah, I recommend this to them.
If you know anybody that can make a good lard omelet, recommend this podcast to them. I think they'd dig it.
Do you know a guy with a lot of hair that isn't white, but somehow goes by the name Q-Ball for some reason?
He'd dig this.
He would definitely like this podcast.
He'd love it.
Who else we got?
Do you have a knife sticking out the top of your... Wait, do you know someone who has a knife sticking out the top of their head and one eye? Recommend this podcast to them.
Do you know a couple of dudes who are just like the perfect cliche, odd couple bad guys in tactical gear and machine guns that like to sneak up on people?
Felix, Oscar, go sort it out.
Recommend this podcast to Felix
and
Oscar.
Are you a Weasley-looking white dude with a background in computers that likes to wear black turtlenecks?
Are you a Mike Myers character?
Was Mr. Pitt Steve Jobs?
And Sprockets?
Yeah. Sprockets. Dieter from Sprockets.
And now it's time we dance.
Yeah, if you are that guy, hit us up. We could use some technical know-how.
If you know someone who's an explosives expert, which is mostly pertains to knowing what is flammable and what isn't, recommend this podcast to them.
Look, have you ever noticed that sub?
The one out there right off the coast of Valverde?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Has
it been there the whole time?
That sub.
I'm looking at my sandwich. The submarine.
There's a submarine.
Oh, wow.
This guy's waving at us out there.
Looks like it's doing like some sort of fireworks.
He's foreign
there.
Or something. Is that a starburst round? Yeah, do you think it's a...
That was a HeadGum Podcast.